welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook. I'm your host along with Adam Carroll.
Yay, how are you?
Good man, good man. I just wanted to get this out of the way. If you are a first-time listener or a first-time viewer, you might be noticing something different. Well, you wouldn't be noticing it, actually, because it would be a first-timer. If you're returning, though, you might think, that's weird. There's only two squares on the video, or only two voices. It's just me and Adam this week.
Just us. The two lads again.
But I'm wearing, again, video, a Mass Effect t-shirt to in sort of support of Gary's Mass Effect posters that were behind him. How are
and
you?
And I don't have a burger pillow or
no,
something like
no,
that.
No.
I forgot
no.
to bring mine.
But you good? You're all good?
Everything okay? I'm all good, man. I'm good. How are you? Are you doing all right?
I'm all right. I'm here hoping we can bring a moment of sanity to people's lives. Because yeah. I talked about a game last week, Adam Carroll. I talked about a game, mm-hmm. and I talked about a game that I thought, they're all just going to be there. Like, if you couldn't see it, they'd have been going, oh, God, he's talking about this fucking space game, and it's, what a load of shite. Why is he talking about this space game Astroneer? And I managed to corral not just Christopher White, not just Christopher Hyde, but the person out of the four people that I really thought would not like this game. Adam Carroll played this game.
I played this game. All right, I played...
I really thought you'd hate it, by the way. Really did. Genuinely thought he will not like this at all. Not even a bit.
Well, so it was a weird experience, because you explained what it was, and you were like, oh, jump in, come on, have a go, whatever. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be my bag. I'm not into these kind of, like, survival... Would you call it a survival game?
I'd call it... What is it, if you go off the beaten path, you'll die. It's a low-risk survival. It's a low-risk survival crafting experience in space. I think it's the closest to Minecraft, actually, of all the games
this
that
is.
I like it. I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Maybe I should play Minecraft. Astroneer, when I jumped in with you and Chris, I hadn't a clue what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't even do the tutorial, which you asked me. You actually went, did you do the tutorial? And I was just like, no. And you were like, oh, wow. Okay. And you gave me a brief run through of everything that you could, like the tethering and all this kind of stuff. But even that alone, you saying that to me is like, what? What's the point in the tethers? What's going on? Why? Where's this printer? What's this printer? All these things are just floating about. Eventually, as we played for the opening, I don't know, I think the first session we played was maybe 2-3 hours.
2-3 hours, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I think after about an hour of just running around and following you guys and just seeing what was going on, wondering where Chris was, because when I got there, Chris was actually in a different part completely.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just you. Chris was after heading out to do something, whether it's gathering resources or whatever, or just trying to discover stuff. But even that alone, I was like, so what's Chris doing? Where's he gone? And why are you here? Why aren't you with him? Like, these are all the things that I'm trying to figure out with Astroneer. And as I was going around with you and seeing what was happening, I was like, okay, so these are my tethers. All right. So I placed them down as I progress and want to go out into the world. And, oh, this is my terrain tool. I can take up all the ground and I can make the ground elevate and stuff, all these weird things, and I'm like, but why do I need to do this? This is all the stuff that's running through my brain. But then as I kind of went, all right, this is what I have for now, I'm just gonna head out and do my own thing and see what happens. I'm researching stuff, I'm pressing Y on research things to get bites, and I'm like, well, this is kind of satisfying, and I guess it's I don't know what the hell I'm doing it for, but it seems to be working well for us right now in our play session. So I'm doing all this, I'm going off further, and this was my thing for like half an hour, I think. My first real half an hour. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to research
I think everyone was doing similar. Like, I'm... Did Chris Hyde... No, he wasn't... No, he didn't play that first time, did he? Chris White was, like you say, just off doing... I can't remember. He might have been digging a hole. And I was just... I think I was just building stuff at the base.
Yeah, so like, as Chris... Chris White is away... Like, we're talking over chat, and Chris is like, oh, no. This is all I'm hearing from Chris, like, oh, no, I'm down here. Oh, where am I? And I'm like, where are you? What is happening? What's going on? I need to find Chris here. What is going on in this game? And I think eventually Chris was in a ship flying about the place.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. In all of our combined first, he was the first to ever go off planet, and
yeah,
And that doesn't explain that. That's not part of the tutorial, by the way, so nobody missed that.
Well, let's be honest, but we'll talk about those little bits in a second, the actual like learning of the game. But like when Chris was there, he says, "Oh, I'm after lending." But I don't, and we were like, you said, "No, you haven't." And Chris was like, "Oh, no, where am I after lending?" And I was like, "What's going on?" So me and you set off to try and find Chris. Yep. Next minute, we see Chris in the distance, he sees us, we're running along together, and we do our little, like, emotes and all these kind of dances and stuff, and jumped up and down. That was when I was like, that's hilarious, this is very cute, it's very charming, and what the fuck were you doing, Chris? Where are you?
Yeah, what was going on there?
What was going on there with you? Show me that spaceship, what is that? So all these things are coming together, these moments that are in my brain, and I'm like, alright, this is really, really nice. And eventually, we go back to our base, and you start to show me what is what. This is the printer, and this is that, and all these things. And I'm like, okay, so this does this. When all of these things started clicking, I started getting that feeling of, this is something special. This is something that
I'm intrigued, right? Because I don't have the answer for this, actually, so I can't answer it myself. I'm wondering if you can. There's a lot of this kind of game out there. Whereas once upon a time, perhaps it was just Minecraft. Fallout 76 is a survival game, crafting game. So the setting does it for me, but the visuals do it for me. Like, I love how this game looks, and I loved how it looked from the first time I saw it, 2017 or whenever it was when it was early access. It's been around for a while. But you mentioned how you're not really a fan of Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Why
this?
Because to jump ahead a little bit, between the three and four of us, what we've played at various times, threes, fours, we've probably easily put in, if you put all of our hours together, probably 30 to 40 hours. I know I've played over, I played 15 hours in a week, which is, being honest, if I'm not reviewing a game, doesn't happen. It can't happen. The room I'm in now, for those who are watching, is where I tend to come and review a game, the telly behind me. But this is the one that I've kind of turfed my wife out of our lounge almost every other evening. She's watching telly in here because I'm in the lounge playing this game. And she's been fine with that because I think she recognises that the last time this happened to me was Overwatch.
Okay.
I was going to ask you about that off podcast, actually. I couldn't remember. Were you part of the gang that we were playing? Because with Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Yeah. You were, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Because we were playing it so much, we literally had a full team to the point of someone in our party on PlayStation was waiting for someone to call it a night so they could jump into the team and carry. You know, it was mental. That's the last time. And again, I want to say Overwatch was 2017 or 18. I think it might have been 2017.
We had a bit of this as well with Monster Hunter World.
But not to this degree, I don't think.
Not to this degree. I think... With Astroneer, since putting in the hours now so far this week, I've ended up buying a physical copy of the game.
I nearly did, by the way. I also was looking on Amazon going I could just to have it, but I was like, I don't know.
It was £20, and I was like, I want a physical, because I was like, first off, I want to support the team, because I ended up watching, the obsession kicked in, basically, where I ended up watching the Danny O'Dwyer No-Clip documentary on Astroneer.
Did you well up a bit in any of that? Because I did.
100%. And the story, I knew nothing about the developer. This is all new. And it's a new game. It's a new game style for me. So I was just like, this is great. I love this feeling. That situation and their story was really, really just like... insane, and just like it was emotional. So I was like, I want to support this team as much as I can, because as it stands, I'm playing it on Game Pass, which is I don't know what way that works for devs. I don't know if it gives them something bar the spotlight for whatever games.
Well, it's been in Game Pass for a while though. In Game Pass but here's the thing, if it left Game Pass tomorrow, I'd buy it.
I bought it for PS4 because I want to, if I do my own solo thing, and then if it goes off Game Pass, I'll absolutely buy it digital for Xbox One for continuing our own situation.
I think I'd have to buy it twice, because I think I'd have to buy it on PC, because I own it on Steam. But to be able to cross play, I think you need the Windows Store version, because there's that weird thing now with Xbox where there's the Windows Store version of a game and there's a game on Steam, because it's not a Microsoft game. is it? After all, it's like, you know, it's self-published. Mm-hmm. But I think I will say, for those who have played it in the past and think it doesn't run great or anything, like, the PC version is, if you can, is the one. Like, that, my God, it runs beautifully.
Yeah. I will say the frame rate on the Xbox One is a bit of an issue at times, but the worst thing, to be honest, in performance is the opening loading screen. Yeah,
and again, that on just PC makes no with sense. SSDs, it's like done. Couldn't believe it. I will also say, I think this is a mark of how much I'm enjoying it. I am one of those where if the frame, and it really chunks, and I'm on an Xbox One X, and I believe because I was the one who initially created the save file, a lot of the work is being done on my Xbox because the save file is on my Xbox, thus the world we're playing on needs to save to my console, and I think that's why mine chunks up more.
Okay,
I am one of those, however, it's that bad at times where I'm like, if this were another game, I would probably go, I'm not doing this. This is so bad. Like, we are talking, I mean, it's way below 15 frames per second at times when I'm playing. No, not always. Usually around our base, which admittedly is getting crazy. I mean, the storage situation is, I know Chris Hyde listens, so I'm going to say it, psychotic. And impressive. It is. But any other game, I would have gone, I can't, lads. This is too fucked. But it's captured my heart. Like,
yeah,
that's what it's done.
This is the thing, like, with the obsession kicking in, if I'm not playing the game, I'm watching someone play it. And this hasn't happened in a long, long time. And I've been watching the Giant Bomb videos and stuff, and it's just, it's kind of just that game. I suppose it's the same with people who play Minecraft. They just, you can watch so many people doing it, making creations and stuff. I think, like, with Astroneer, it's like just setting out to do what you want to do in the game, whether it's like just building something or getting an attachment for your terrain tool or just gathering resources for the hour or deciding to just, like, last night when we were playing, me and you were just playing together, and like, we were off doing separate things, but what I was doing for like the hour and a half that we were on, I was just digging a hole right into the core.
You said you were going to do that, but I didn't know if you did it.
That's what I was. That's what I was doing, and I still have work to do. I still have to go back and continue on, like, you know. But I was. That's what I was getting up to. I think, like, the reason that this game is hitting me is that I think it's, as I said, very charming. It's colorful. I love how it looks. It's just like it has that toy figurine.
Yeah.
Coating. Yeah. That's what it has over it. You know, like, if they release figures in this, like, there's we discussed it, the figurine in that no clip doc. Yeah. It's like,
I thought that was a real thing. I really had it. So I said to you at the time, I had it in my head, they had made an Astroneer figurine you could buy, and they had made them. It was for the dev team. You can't buy it. I really want one of them.
And see, I think
it would go right there. You can't see it. There's a little shelf right there. It would be right there next to my PC screen the whole time.
It's if I had one, I'd just have it right here.
Right in your hand,
I think, though, to answer your question from a while back there, the reason this has registered with me, and I was thinking this myself, is because when everyone has been going on about Animal Crossing this year, all right, I love that game has done so much for people on a personal and a mental level. Do you know, it's amazing. Astroneer is that for me. I think it's everything that I've wanted in a game this year to take my mind off everything, to just have that moment of just, like, escapism. And I know a lot of video games can do that, but this is something that when I jump in, I'm not stressing, I'm not panicking, I'm not under, like, any sort of pressure, I'm not fighting enemies, bar a plant that might just bounce me away somewhere, but, like, even at that, it's still grind. There's nothing that is, like, hurtful, and I know that sounds like it's just the word I can only use to describe it. It's a safe haven of a game. Like, when we are all in it together and we're working away and all that kind of stuff, it's the kind of the way we're all communicating, going, oh, look, I got this here, oh, guys, check this out. And, like, here we are, like, adult men, and we're like, look at this jetpack. I came back in with that one session. You and Chris Hyde were after playing one night I couldn't play, unfortunately. Came in the next day, and you were like, wait a second, Ed. And you were like, watch this. And you and Chris set up, and then just shot into the sky. And I was like, jetpacks? Yeah. And then you just went, and here's your one. Like, and that, to me, was just like, yes, this game. And I know, like, there's all these kind of elements and rewards in many games, like Minecraft probably does a very similar thing. But look, Astroneer is the first one for me. The space aspect is beautiful. I love the soundtrack. It just does so much for me, and I can't stop thinking about it. This is my favorite game that I've played this year.
It's weird that you mention the jetpacks, because there's a thing about them that makes me kind of, I think what it is for me is that I wonder if at some point there will come a day where it's like, I think we've done everything. Because those jetpacks, there is another jetpack, right?
Yeah.
This might be a bit boring for people listening, so I'll briefly say the jetpack basically has a little bar on it and it runs out after so many uses, and that's it. It's just gone. You have to build another one. And they're not that easy to build. They're easy enough, but they're not super easy. There is a jetpack version you can build that's called a hydrazine one. And the hydrazine is a fuel, essentially, that you can use for other stuff. And with the hydrazine, as long as you have it in your inventory, the jetpack doesn't die. It just keeps using that hydrazine. So you could put like eight, because your inventory is eight to technically it's eight, but you can hold 11 things.
Yeah.
No, you can hold 13 14? Things. 13 or 14, something like that.
Yeah.
Can't remember now. It's 13 or 14, but you could technically no, because you'd have two jetpacks, so minus two. So it doesn't matter. You could have at least 10 packs of hydrazine, and as long as you have fuel, you can boost. And I'm wondering now if that essentially gives you proper flight, because you could just keep going because you have fuel. But I don't know, because I can't make them yet.
Well, here's the thing: when you say, "Oh, I wonder if we get to the point where we run out of things," if I'm honest, like Ed, we have. There are, what, seven, eight planets?
Yeah, yeah.
We have visited two?
I think three, but two of them barely.
Like you know, like we still have to, like, really get into the nitty-gritty of these things. Like
get a base at that planet. Like, I finally built the biggest space shuttle, which has now got the ability to fly all four of us at once to another planet. And, like, the idea now we can actually colonize another planet properly with a proper base, and, like, that is... That's what I want to do. Like, go to that ice planet so we can get the gas we can't get on our planet and shit like that. And I know, again, I'm well aware of how nerdy it sounds.
Oh, it sounds like a nerdy game, but, you know, I have to stress that, like, if anyone is feeling like, oh, I just want to, like, just do something to take my mind off everything.
Yeah.
If you have a console and you can play Astroneer, play this game. This game is, like... It offers, like, it's almost like meditating. That's what it feels like to me at times. I feel like I'm meditating.
Last night was like that. We were just chatting. And all I was doing is, as we were chatting, I was going from the base out far as I could get, and I was taking the car, and I was taking... You can get this tool called a packager, which makes something that's big, you'd have to physically carry, like, you know, in your hands. It makes you can shrink it down to put it in your backpack, and then you can carry multiple big things by shrinking them into a little package. Basically like an Amazon delivery driver. And I was just going off and finding as many research or scrap items as I could to package them up and bring them back. And then I did that, come back, and then I went back out. And that's all I was doing last night. The whole like hour and a half, I was just going out and bringing back research to get more bites. And
like we had a like very funny moment. It doesn't sound hilarious, really, but it was fun. It was just really fun where we made the Rover, which is your vehicle in the game, and you were after attaching, like, I don't know, three trailers or tractors, or whatever they are.
And then
I got the winch, and then you were off doing your thing. And now I have to be honest here, the Rover exists. I go a bit rogue on it. I just take off, and I'm just like so excited to be driving something in this game, and it's so much fun. And I went off, and I remember talking to you going, guys, you won't believe what I have. Get up high and watch me right back to the base, whatever. Drive in, I had this ginormous... What looks like...
It was a solar array, I think.
It was just this huge thing that I'm dragging along, and I brought it back. And then, you know, I remember you were like, oh my God. And then we all came down and we just went, what do we do with this?
What do we do with this now?
I don't know. And then we went, hey, hang on. Let's try dynamite. Let's craft some dynamite.
Can we blow this up? And that was like a whole evening session of discovering dynamite. Yep.
Got the dynamite, we placed it, we stood back, the three of us, there we go, boom, we got new debris and stuff. Like it's just these, like, that was the reward of that evening. Like, that session,
Was great. That felt like advancement.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for this game to exist, and, like, I just want everyone to support it, especially if it's on Game Pass, and just give it your time. Just give it your time.
Yep.
Like, the music is so unbelievably chill. It's so calm. There's two volumes of it on Spotify to listen. But even at that, you could throw on a podcast and just zone out and just do your thing. Like,
you could listen to this podcast via Spotify on the Xbox app.
Very good.
Wild Very Astronaut. Good. Right, yeah. You could. I keep forgetting Spotify is integrated on Xbox, so you could literally do that.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary game. I just love it.
We should talk about other games, I suppose. I mean, we don't have to, but we should.
Yeah, okay.
But why not? Let's give other games a spotlight. So a game came out last week, as you're listening. This week, if you're a Patreon, go to patreon.com/godisageek. For more information on that. But a game came out published by Konami. Konami published a video game, and it wasn't PES, it wasn't Castlevania, it wasn't any remaster or remake.
Silent Hill.
New indie game. No. It's called Skelatak. Now, Skelatak, this was a weird one, right? Because basically the PR who worked for Konami in this country, in the UK, just sent over and said, hey, Konami are going to be putting out a new indie game. We'd like you to be involved in as much as we'd like you to cover it. I need you to sign this NDA and we can release more information. That's not like a completely foreign concept. Like, you know, often it's a case of, look, these people are doing this. I can't tell you more until you agree to whatever I tell you. Keep it stum. So as usual, you know, you sign the NDA, get it back. And then it comes and it says, right, this is the game. Skelatak, it's coming out on here. This is when reviews can go live. Here's your review code. I'm like, Skelatak? Now, I covered Skelatak for Red Bull in a freelance capacity in 2017. I interviewed the creator, David Stanley, and I kind of assumed somehow I had just missed that it came out because, and I'll quote from my interview, I've got it up on the screen here. David Stanley has been developing Skelatak, a dungeon-crawling adventure by himself, for just shy of 2 years. So that's 2 years already. It's coming to PC and Xbox on January 19, 2018. We're now in 2020, so this is at least 5 years in development. At the time, he told me that it couldn't come to Switch because he just didn't have the facilities to make it come to Switch. It's out on everything. Mm-hmm. It's out on everything, and I've played it. And it's all right.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good game.
So
it's got some really strange choices that I've played like 35, 40 minutes of it, maybe an hour. So it's got some strange choices that at this point, I don't know if I think they're wise choices or not. I mean, I'm not the bastion of what a developer does, but it's a very difficult one to describe. But the way he handles wall jumping is something I have never seen before. And all I can think when I'm playing it is, why did you change something that is kind of it's universal?
I really don't know how is the wall jumping
so
unusual in this
controller here. Okay, so right. This is gonna be backwards, but when you jump, you press the X button and you jump into a wall, right?
Yeah.
Now normally you would then, using the D-pad or stick, jump away from the wall and you would jump. This button, the X button, the jump button, forget about that. Once you jump into the wall, you just use the left and right D-pad or stick to jump, like, so you go left, right, left, right, and you jump left, right. You don't actually press the jump button at all.
Okay.
And it's truly bizarre. I don't understand it. I think it might be so that you can double jump out of it, because you can then jump when you're midair. Once you flick off with the D-pad, but all I find myself doing is cocking it up because it's so foreign.
So this is what I was going to ask. Does it, like, if I press X, jump, and I'm going to jump over to the left, if I press X again,
nothing
works. Does it, but is that not, okay, so the design is weird, but, like, for me personally, so I would just keep pressing X. I just do it as if it is.
And that's what you do. I mean, again, maybe it needs more time. Right now, an hour in, I'm like, my brain hasn't rewired. Do you know how What did I play recently? There was a game I played recently that had like button prompts. Oh, it's Bug Fables. I was playing Bug Fables. Oh,
okay.
And in Bug Fables, because it's like a Paper Mario style RPG, you when you attack, it has like a sort of thing you have to, like a button prompt to make the attack more stronger or something.
Mm-hmm.
So on Switch, I get them wrong every time, because when it says press Y, I go for the Xbox Y, the triangle button. It's not. They're around the other way, aren't they, on the Switch? And it takes quite a long time for me to rewire my brain to do that. So I wonder if after a while with Skele Attack, I would rewire my brain. It's a good game. I can't just sit here and go, oh yes, I discovered this man. I interviewed him, and like it's revolutionary. It's all right.
In terms of it being the style of game that it is, like where does it sit? Like, because we've got a lot of these style games, and I feel what they end up kind of doing is ramping up the challenge or the difficulty. See, and that's the thing. These platforming games. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a challenge, but it seems to be that's like you get there's like the elements of some quirky gameplay mechanic, the art style, and then it's difficulty. These are the three elements I feel that exist within these kind of games as of the last few titles.
It may be that I don't feel like I currently have the tools to sort of traverse the difficulty just yet. Like the combat at the moment doesn't feel, and I know there are things you unlock, like Chris said something in his review about like a boomerang, so there is definitely ways of attacking from a distance, but at the moment I feel like it's very difficult to not take damage from any of the enemies, because it's quite chunky in terms of like the size of the characters are quite big in the world. I find it quite difficult to keep away from them and not take damage, but also there are spikes in a lot of areas as well. And
they have spikes.
They're way too easy to fall into, and some of them are one-hit kills. Now it's instant load, like Meat Boy, so you aren't
okay.
But it's like it just the challenge at the moment for me feels like I'd be completely honest. I turned it off yesterday as we were recording, and I was like, I might be done with this because I like a challenge, but it was like I am just dying all the time, and
I feel like
I'm clumsy in it. I don't think it's the controls. Yeah, see, feel clumsy in it.
That's the thing, you see. If you're describing it to be like you're dying all the time, it's getting frustrating.
It was.
That's where a platform game like this does not go well for me, because something like if you take Celeste or Super Meat Boy, you die all the time, but you learn. That's the whole purpose of learning these things. Like, dude, that element should never be, like, it should always be present within any game of this nature. If you're going to have a difficulty level up that high, you need to learn and be able to flow then quickly with it. Like Mark the Ninja wasn't, like, to that difficulty, but, you know, you died and then you learned and then all of a sudden you came very quick at doing the level. Same with Hotline Miami. Similar kind of idea, you know, they nail these kind of things. To be dying over and over out of frustration is not the one.
It just seemed too easy to die. Like, I was dying, I died so much. And I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it. Something didn't click with me at that point.
Okay.
I would like to play some more of it, but it just didn't click with me. And I just wanted to go back and play Astroneer. And also, I didn't even put Bug Fables on our list. Actually, I want to play more of that. I really think that's
a lovely
game. I've
still started that.
It's a charming game. I'm like, people have referred to it as like, oh, it's a bit like Paper Mario. It's more than a bit like.
It's more than a bit like Paper Mario.
But it's probably going to scratch that itch for people. And like, it's the smallest game I've downloaded in a long time. Like 200 meg or something it was. Like, it was insane. I thought my Switch had gone funny because it downloaded so quick. I was like, oh, it's not downloaded. Oh, and it had. But I want to play that. I played the preview build of Desperados 3 on Mick's recommendation. And I really want to play more of this game. So it's an isometric top-downy style real-time strategy game, I believe is the technical definition. Cowboy setting, which is... there's not a lot of that.
There's not a lot of that. There's not, like, we'd always, like, obviously you got the obvious Red Deads,
including Revolver and stuff.
You would have had Gun,
No, but I mean, since Red Dead 2.
Oh, since Red Dead. Sorry, like, before Red
it's
Dead.
Not, it's not like an over, it's certainly not an overused genre.
Would? No, maybe. Like, I have yet to play this, but like, does Disco Elysium kind of have a bit of a western-y?
It's more cyber dystopian-y, sort of cyberpunk-y, but I guess.
A straight-up western game. Yeah.
The Juarez
there should be
games.
More.
Yeah.
Juarez games, yeah.
This has got a story. I can't, I mean, I'm not, you know, this is a preview sense. I can't, I genuinely don't know anyway. I've only played the first level and some tutorial stuff. What impresses me about it is that it's not just one of those games. Like, they have modernized it so far in a cool way. Like, you know, I'll get to the gameplay itself, but like afterwards it shows you this cool map of every, you know, like it draws the map as you took your movements around, and it shows you where you died and where you, and it's
that's
really
great.
Cool stuff. And like, it shows you, actually, by the way, if you want to replay this level, here's the badges you can get. Don't die, don't save. So this is the thing. This is a game that in the tutorial it says F5 is quick save, F8 is reload. Like, it's literally saying, save scum. It says, I think, in the tutorial, we want you to die because dying is part of learning. We want you to save scum. We want you to keep trying shit out in our game. And I'm like, that's impressive. Because it's kind of the unspoken thing, isn't it, to save scum a game. They are. Mm. It's genuinely a thing that says, do it. Like, seriously, do it. Have fun. Because, like, one of the characters, I think his name's Cooper, it's a bit like, you know, you look at Diablo and you've got your men, down the bottom here, you've got, like, your menus, your skills. So he's got, like, he can kill him with a knife, he can kill him with his hands, he can throw the knife, but then he has to go and pick the knife up from the dead body. He's got two different revolvers. And on top of that, if you hit the shift button, or whatever it would be on a console, it's sort of pauses the game and it allows you to queue up actions, and then when you've queued them up, you can execute and do them all, or you can hold them.
Okay.
So if you want to, say, throw a coin, which is another one of those things to distract, you can select to throw it and hold it, and then as someone walks past, bang, hit the button, it will do the action, throw it, shoot someone. And there's like multiple characters you can control. And what I'm so impressed with was how this truly feels so far, in a preview sense, it truly feels like the way I finished that level is not the way, it is a way.
Cool.
Like, I genuinely feel like I did things a certain way, but it definitely wasn't the only way.
I love that, because that's going to open up, like, topics, like, good conversations between people who play it, like, how would you do this? And I love when games do that.
It really felt like that. Like, I saw at the end, like, there was a way of like, the, you know, not dying. And I'm like, well, I thought, well, then I had to reload loads of times. But just, like, there are, like, environmental puzzles. Like, in this level that I played, you can drop a rock onto two enemies or not. There are horses you can, like, attack to make them bolt, you know, and stuff like that. And it was just... I am really impressed with it.
Tell me... If you can, for somebody like me, never touched Desperados 1 or 2.
Nor have I.
Can people jump straight into 3 so far?
I mean, I have. I don't know anything.
And are
about
you able
the
to follow what's happening? And
it's a cowboy who needs to get somewhere, and that's enough for me.
It's a cowboy. There's horses. Cool.
Trains.
Like, saloons.
Probably. Rope. I don't know, but. It just feels, and like all the characters, like, feel like they have their unique skills that complement one another. Again, all the characters, I'm saying, I've only played as 2, so, but they both feel like they have, like, the character that isn't Cooper, I can't remember the name of, he's got like a pistol that's a sniper pistol, and each weapon, each action has not just a cooldown, but like a loudness thing. So, you know, shooting those revolvers, people are going to hear it, but the pistol's not quite as loud, so when the other guy shoots from distance, and like certain, you can right click on an enemy and it shows their view cone. And there's like the view cone is like all green, and that means they're going to see, but then there's like it's grayed out and lines, meaning you could actually press the crouch button and you can crouch and they won't see you going through that bit. I'm really impressed with what I played of that in a previous sense, and
I'm
really
definitely up for giving this a shot.
And the only other game I have played, or games, and we'll do something with them soon on the site, is the Bioshock, what is it, Trilogy Collection? I don't know what it's called.
It's the Collection.
Yeah. I haven't even touched 2 yet. That's next on my list, because I started Bioshock, I'm really impressed. And I don't know why, because they're old games.
Well, but, look, you know. There's definitely, like, the aesthetic and visual department of, like, when did I last play Bioshock 1? It wasn't that long ago, probably two, 3 years ago. Well, it was about 2 or 3 years ago, and I still was very, like, this looks brilliant still. Like, it has its own thing going on. I'm not saying the Switch couldn't handle that, but, you know, you got to take into account, like, there's the water effects and stuff like that that are in 1 and 2, and then the colours that are bursting in Infinite.
And, like, of those two, both are a solid 30 frames. Mm-hmm. I can't quote on resolution because I've only played them handheld currently. I need to stick them in the dock and see how they...
Well, it looks good in handheld.
Oh, yeah. Like, really, I don't like playing this kind of game handheld, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't like playing shooters handheld. My eyesight's not what it was. I mean, it's still, obviously, it's shit. I wear glasses, but I would rather play it on a TV. So I'd like to see that it holds up on TV, but in handheld mode, they hold up at 30 frames. But... Bioshock Infinite, I think, is still the best game. And by that, I don't mean the best story, although, yeah, it probably is the best story of the series as well. But it is the best game. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but the original Bioshock, the jump button was triangle or Y.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the jump button that we all know as A or B, whatever console, the bottom one of the four. And it was only when I went to Infinite, I was like, yeah, they made this into a more recognisable game, comfortable game for you to play. And I must admit, playing Bioshock and just seeing that city, Infinite, as you come out, and the colour, like you say, I was like, I could be tempted through this all the way again, you know, I really could. Like, you just...
The opening few hours of Infinite are just amazing.
I will say, I forgot quite how religious it is at the beginning.
Yeah. That's actually something that I have to admit that, like, even though it is the main theme... When I first played Infinite, I would have definitely been like, "All right, this is the theme. I get it." But as time went on and I reflected on Infinite, it wasn't the religious aspect that ever stuck with me.
No,
I think I was just so taken back by the characters and the story itself, really, and just the visuals that I was like, "Bioshock is just so cool." Like the fact you have, like, two. I know two doesn't really get its fair say, but
it's
like,
a good game. It's a good game. Yeah,
but it's really one in Infinite. Are the ones you know?
No,
cool. But yeah, I actually started Infinite again not too long ago. Actually this year, but I just never continued. I really wanted to.
It's the only thing I would say, and this is like the biggest sort of whinging complaint you could have about this collection, is that the Switch is not a system that is built to have three games in a collection that are 20 gigabytes each. You know, they're like, it's like 11, 15, and 21 or something. That's like 50 to 60 gig of the Bioshock collection. And as much as I think they hold up well, and as much as I think, you know, they look great, and they are still fantastic games. They're still fantastic games. Like that opening of Bioshock, the plane crash, you know, introduction to Rapture. Whatever you say about the games, and however people say, like, in time's gone by, they don't like them anymore or whatever, they're not actually good, whatever. They know how to open a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Irrational knew how to open a game, and I don't know. It made me think about the fact they said they're making a new one, and what would that be?
Yeah.
And yeah, does it need one? And
I don't know if we need one.
But the thing
one.
Is, the way Infinite ended, and we won't spoil because maybe people are playing them, you know, on the Switch for the first time. But the way Infinite ends is very much a kind of a bookend. Like, I feel like a Bioshock 4. It won't be called that, but whatever it's called. You know how it has to end.
It's an unusual thing, but there are some franchises, such as Bioshock, where I'm always like, Infinite was there, and yes, you could have a 4. Would I play it? Absolutely. Would I be excited? Absolutely. But it was a moment in time where I remember just games being just everything, like
genuinely,
you know,
Bioshock, another different... I have two strong memories of it. Like,
yeah,
the demo came out and I rushed home from work on my lunch break to download and play the demo. And Infinite I reviewed, and for some reason it arrived on a Saturday morning, and for some reason the embargo was either a Sunday or a Monday, and I sat and played the entire game in one session.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Apart from the blimp fight.
A lot of people got pissed off about that part, right? Yeah. Chris White recently played the first one, and the whole twist in one, I'll never forget how I felt when it landed. I just went, Jesus Christ.
How did he not get that spoiled?
How did he not get that spoiled?
Chris, if you're listening or watching to the podcast you're not on, how did you... Tell us next week.
That's some achievement.
It is. The only thing I would say, and I'm sorry in advance for what I'm about to say, I find it... Who hasn't played Bioshock by now if they wanted to?
Okay. But this is the thing. This goes on to what you were just saying there, playing it on the Switch, right? How much is that game on the Switch? Is this full price?
Actually. I think so. I think so. I'll have to look. I can't even remember what it's called. The Bioshock. I'll Google it.
Bioshock,
as we're doing this.
Bioshock Collection on Switch.
Amazon, how much is it? Bioshock the Collection, Nintendo Switch, Amazon.co.uk. It's definitely not that. $32.99. That's as a good price for three good games.
So it's around 40 euro for me, right?
Yeah.
It's around 40 euro. Not bad, but still not great. You can get that entire collection. I vividly remember having that collection. I got rid of it because I was trading in for certain games time, and I bought it again for 5 euro, the entire collection on PS4. Right, the thing about it is I love that it's out there on the Switch now, and for people who haven't played it, why wouldn't they play it now, do you know? But they're still not going to drop. If you're going to play Bioshock, if you were like, oh, I'm going to eventually play it, you weren't waiting around for it to come onto a handheld console, and you're definitely not going to be paying 40 quid for it, really. I think the Bioshock Collection is for people who have played it, or someone who's just going, oh, I need to go back to the intro.
But I would recommend it more. I mean, this isn't the review thing. I wouldn't put this in the review. Yeah. But I would recommend it more to someone like yourself if it was all on the cartridge. The fact I think each of the games, it has the opening chapters, so you have to download the rest. So it's you're downloading 40 gig.
Yeah.
That's a lot of space. I don't know.
I'm not too... it's the one thing I will say with the Switch, aside from The Witcher 3 and Skyrim, because they're two of the best games ever. But all other bigger titles that come to the Switch, I'm never really yeah. I'm screaming for Persona 5, as are many other people. But it probably ain't going to happen. But I'm getting all these kind of games in, I'm not going to play Bioshock. I'm not going to play Doom on the Switch.
I'd take Persona 4 on Switch, if I'm honest, let alone 5, but I would take Persona 4. I would take
Persona 4. Did you play Persona 4?
Oh, I fucking played Persona 4. Golden. I played it Golden.
Persona 4 Golden is the best.
Oh, it was Vita, right?
It was Vita, yeah.
Yeah, one of the best RPGs ever made. I would take that on Switch.
Yeah.
I would want 5, but I would take 4. Golden. I mean, I'd want both. A Persona collection on Switch, maybe. That would be... It's never going to happen. Don't know why I'm talking about it. it's not. It's not, is it? It's not.
No.
The other game I have been playing, I will mention very briefly and say, if you want to know more, go to godisageek.com, go to youtube.com/godisageek and find my preview of The Last of Us Part 2.
Never heard of us.
No one's heard of that tiny little indie game. But you can. I'm not going to talk about it on the pod. I'll save it until I can properly talk about that game. We won't spoil it. We may do a spoiler cast at some point for that game, but we won't spoil it on this podcast. But when I can properly talk about it, gloves off, we'll talk about it then. Ad, have you played anything else?
I'm currently playing The Last of Us 1.
Part 1.
I'm going through another playthrough of that. It's quite... Do you know what, right? Very quickly, not to stay on this for too long, but there's a lot of that game I forgot.
Yeah?
There's a lot of The Last of Us that I forgot. I always, for some reason, as I was playing it this time again, this week, I don't know if you remember now, but the opening with, not the actual opening, but when you're Joel and Tess and you're going around the place.
Wandering around the streets.
Wandering around. I couldn't, for the life of me, go, how does Ellie come into this? I couldn't remember where she appears, when's the first time I witness her. And then it happened and I was like, oh yeah. It's not like an absolute like, whoa, what an entrance. It's just like, for such a character, like, where does Ellie come into this? Because even when I was doing the moments with Tess, I started kind of going, oh yeah, so I roam around with Tess for a while and I'm looking for Robert and things like that.
Robert,
yeah, see? Like, it's kind of mental. Like even down to things like, when's the first clicker come into play? And it's...
Around that section, I believe, you go...
Yeah.
When you put the masks on, right?
Yes, it's around that section, with Tess, I think. Yeah, but I didn't remember that. The only parts I remember that really stood out to me was, aside from the very opening of the game, which is just still absolutely incredible, it is the moment when you are walking with Tess and there's the soldiers with the fireflies and they have them all down the ground and they're checking them and stuff like that, and you can stand there as Joel just watching it, and Tess is over there waiting for you. And then, like, if you walk up to the officers or whatever and just kind of do whatever, they'll, like, shove you away and stuff. I remember that vividly because it was kind of just the way Naughty Dog brings the world to life in those kind of moments where you kind of go, I wonder if I do this, will this happen? And it does you know. Playing that, it's definitely starting to show its age.
Yeah.
Even in its remastered version. I know it's a PS3 game, but I do remember... playing the PS3 game going, wow, this is amazing looking. Then getting the remaster and going, wow, they've really done some job at this. And now I'm kind of like seeing the kind of sharpness of a lot of the textures and stuff like that. And all the clips that I'm currently seeing of Part 2, it's just like, oh God, that looks just so much better again. But it's still a great looking game. And I'm still thoroughly enjoying it. Seriously depressing though, isn't it?
It's not a happy world.
It's not a happy world, really. I'm kind of like, I'm in
it's
and like, out.
It is the opposite of Uncharted in that respect, which is fine. It's good to have that balance.
Yeah. And then aside from that, I have a couple of other things that I'm playing at the moment that I'll talk about next week. Astroneer.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's basically it.
We're talking about whether we can stream some Astroneer at some point and just show you what we're talking about. This is the thing, I haven't captured any of it. I've just been playing it for fun. Just for fun. Remember that? Playing games for fun. It's what we all used to do as kids, and I'm discovering it all over again. That's it. That's it for a podcast this week. You can go to patreon.com/geek/godisageek, as I say, and you can find out more about what we do behind the scenes. You can get in our Discord. You can get early videos, an early podcast, and an exclusive podcast in Fork Off, it goes live basically the same day this does, but to the Patreons of $5 and up. We give away codes on there. Am I selling it enough, Adam? I'd like to think I'm trying, but it's just go and have a read.
Look, the support, any sort of support, whether it's going on the YouTube channel where there's a load of content going up all the time, subscribing, liking, whatever, it all helps. Listening to the podcast. There's a big thing at the moment, I gotta say, with podcasts in general, like, people are at home, so I'd say like there is a situation where podcast is they're not really like getting the same amount of listens as people would be when they're commuting to work or whatever. If you are listening to our podcast still, thank you very much. Support everyone else, because it is something that people, like, everyone gets something out of it. But yeah, YouTube, our Instagram pages, like them all. Patreon helps, obviously, but, like, you know, we understand the times that they are.
With the Patreon, like, I'm never going to be... I always struggle. We're none of us are very good at self-promotion, and I appreciate there are causes out there right now people want to donate to, and you do that. That is absolutely
fine. Do what
you
care for the most. That is what is essential here, and stay safe and happy, and play Astroneer.
Play Astroneer. That'll keep you happy, hopefully.
It will.
If anything can... That can. Adam, thanks for being here for the podcast.
Thank you, my friend.
With a bit of luck, hopefully, for episode 400, we'll have everyone here present, correct, and we can I don't know. We genuinely haven't got plans for episode 400. The secret truth of it is it's not actually episode 400 because the numbered ones don't count, Game of the Year ones. So we're probably nearer 500. We used to do Godcast Extra, which were like side podcasts about a specific thing. We're probably nearer 500. But next week is episode 400. So celebrate good times. Come on. As the great musicians have told us. Ad, thanks for being here. Everyone else will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now. See you later.